Today's share of the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Ketubos, Daf Tzadi Tes. And we begin in the Gemara on Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph, 13 lines down from the top with the words V'ika di Amri. I mentioned yesterday, we asked the question, Yibayilu, at the end of yesterday's share, we had asked, what is the halacha in the following case, where Reuven asked Shimon to go and sell some of his properties, and the way we had it yesterday was that he told him to sell for him a lesech, which is half of a kor. A lesech, again, is 15 saw. A kor is 30 saw. A saw, if you have a field of a saw, it's 2,500 square amos. So if you have a lesech, that's going to be 15 times that. If you have a kor, that's going to be 30 times that. So 30 times 2,500 is going to be 75,000. And half of that would be 37,750. So he told him to go and sell this field the size of a lesech. Instead, he went and sold the field the size of a kor. So we'd asked yesterday, there are two possibilities. Do we say that even the first lesech of the two lesechs that he sold is going to be an invalid deal? Or do we say, no, the first one, he was following what he was asked to do. And it's the second one that's invalid, and someone has the right to go and get it back, or the person has the right to go and get it back. So in this situation, we had paskin yesterday, like Rav Huna, we had a detailed explanation that Rav Huna says the halacha is it's considered like mosif. When he sells the second lesach, so the first lesach he had the right to sell, so even though he's selling it all as a kor, but it's considered a first lesach and a second lesach, and therefore the first lesach is a good deal, the second lesach is not a good deal, that one can go back. So now that was version number one. Now we have the ikud diamri. Again, Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph, 13 lines from the top. Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph. Ika di Amre. The other opinion is that no. Ha lo tui boi loch. Hechad yomalei zil zovin li lischa vizovin li kura. De vadei mosif al dvarav hevi. No, this question which we had yesterday, that wasn't a question. The answer was clear. The answer is like Rav Huna said. We view the sale of the first lesach as a valid sale because he was following his instructions, and the second lesach he added on inappropriately. Shliach can't do that, and therefore the second sale is invalid. So the first lesach, that's a valid sale. He can't get it back. The second lesach he can get back. That wasn't a kasha. That was clear. However, the case that we're under discussion is Kiti Boiloch, this is the real question. The first situation is the Vadei Mosif al Dvarav Hevi, like we just said. The real question is, what happens if the other way around? The Amalei, Reuven told his Shaliach Shimon, Zil Zabin Le Kura, go sell for me a Kur, the entire 30 saw plot of land. And instead, Shimon only sold half of it. Here he only sold the half. The other way, again, he asked him to sell a half, and he sold the whole thing. Here he asked him to sell the whole thing, but he only sold the half. So here, my, what's dalocha? Do we say that he did follow what he was asked to do, albeit only half of it, and therefore the sale is a hitel? Or do we say no, that he didn't sell the entire kor, and he didn't want to have two separate sales? He wanted one big sale, and therefore even the first half sale, the lesech, isn't a good sale. So again, Mara says, Mi Amrinon, do we say that Amalei, when Reuven told Shimon to sell the entire kor, Shimon responded and says, Mi Amrinon Amalei, do we say that Shimon responded back to Reuven, I did you a favor. The Tovaloch Adiloch, I know you asked me to sell all 30 saw, the entire kor, but I know you're just hard up for money. I know that you need the money, but you really would be better off selling half of your property. Nobody likes to sell their property. So I only sold half of the property, hoping that that half of the property would bring you in enough money that you wouldn't have to sell the other half. Therefore, the Tovaloch Adiloch, I did a favor for you. And therefore, the Elo Mitzdrache Loch Zuze, and if it turns out that you don't need the other half, you'll be in a much better position. Because if I had sold the entire property, and then subsequently you regretted it, it's too late. Lomotzes Hadrus Bay. Then you wouldn't be able to go back and get your property back. But this way, I never sold the second half of the property. I was doing you a favor. No, if you still need the cash, I'll sell the second half. Do we say that the Shimon responded that way to Reuven, and therefore the first lesach that he sold is a good deal because he was doing what the master really wanted. He was doing what Reuven really wanted. O Dilma, do we say, Amalei, that Reuven can instead tell Shimon, listen, I hear what you're saying, but I didn't want that. Lo nicholi, the livshu shtari elavoi. I don't want everybody saying, oh, he's selling off so much of his property. When I sell it once, okay, it has a shame. I'm selling off my property. People know I need some money. Okay, fine. But now that you sell it in two separate steps, people say, oh, he sold. Ooh, he sold again. He must really be doing poorly. And people aren't even want to send me credit, or people aren't going to want to do business with me. It's going to hurt my shidduchim. Who knows what it's going to be? So therefore, I would rather not have two shtaros. If I have two shtaros, I have to keep two shtaros. I have to keep track of everything. So therefore, lo nicholi the livshu shtari levoy. I'd rather not have two shtaros out against me. I only wanted one. And therefore, the fact that you didn't follow what I said, deals off. And therefore, I can get it back. So that's the two possibilities over here. Amar Rabbi Chanina Misura, Rabbi Chanina, who came from the city of Sura, said, Toshma, I'll show you from the following Mishnah. There's also a Mishnah Me'ilah. Yesterday we brought down the Mishnah Me'ilah with the person who by accident did Me'ilah. He told somebody to take the chicken and give it to the guests. So Reuven told Shimon to take his chicken and give it to the guests. It was really hectic. He didn't know it. And Shimon took a second portion, and then the guests took a third portion. So we had that Mishnah yesterday. Here we have a different Mishnah, also from Me'ilah. Nasan Ladina shows off. Again, we're dealing over here with money that really was hectic, but they didn't know this at the time. So inadvertently, they usurped this money. They did me'il on it. So they had a dinar shelzov's worth of coin, and it was hektish. A dinar, Rashi tells us, is equal to 25 silver dinarim. A gold dinar is worth 25 silver dinarim, or it's worth 6 sloim. So that's what Rashi reminds us. And here we're dealing with a dinar shelzov conversion to sloim. So a single dinar shelzov, which they had, which was hektish, so by accident, we'll see that he instructed, Reuven had a dinar shelzov, and he instructed Shimon to go and buy him a chaluk, a shirt, with this money. So it's 6 sloim. So this dinar shelzov, which is worth 6 sloim, he told Shimon, buy me a shirt. He didn't realize it was hektish as money. V'yamalo, avitli chaluk, go buy me a shirt with this 6 sloim, or one single dinar shelzov. V'halach, what did Shimon do? V'hevilo b'shalosh chaluk, and u'b'shalosh talis. We'll see in a moment, what was the value of this shirt that he got for 3? Was it worth 6 or was it worth 3? So right now we're assuming it's just worth 3. So he took the 6 sloim and he bought him a shirt that was worth 3, and he bought him a cloak, a talis. A talis doesn't mean like we have wearing a talis in davening, it means a cloak. So he bought him a talis for 3. So therefore, the question is, did he do what he was asked to do or not? So this is exactly parallel to the case where Reuven asked Shimon to go sell the kor, the larger amount, and Shimon only sold the lesser, half of that amount. Here he told him to buy a shirt with this money that was worth 6, and instead he bought one that was worth 3, and he bought another talis that was worth 3. So the Mishnah tells us, Shnehem Moalu, both of them, the person who took the money, Reuven, who took the money and gave it to Shimon, so he was Moal, and Shimon also was Moal. Now why is that? Amris Bishlamo Rabbi Chanina says that if you hold like the opinion Shaliach Kiai Gavna Osa Shlichuso, that we view him as having done his Shlichus, and therefore when he bought the Chaluk, he was following the Shlichus, and when he bought the Talis, he was adding on to it Umosif Aldvar of Hevi. So now we understand why both of them were over Mila. Mishum Hochi Balabais Moal, the Balabais, when he told him, took the 6 sloim, the dinar shows off, and he told him to buy a shirt. So he did buy a shirt. So therefore, the balabais is mal, shlich shalosh shichuso, the balabais is mal. But then when he bought the additional 3 for the talis, so now the understanding, it would be, that's why the shlich is mal. That's why we understand, shnei mal. So that works out great if you say that this is just mosif al dvarav heavy. Now, that's fine if you say it's mosif al dvarav. Eliyamer's mavir al dvarav heavy, but if you say no, he didn't follow his instructions. He was told to buy a shirt for 6, and he bought a shirt for 3, and a cloak for 3, so then the balabais isn't mal. Am I mal? Why does the Mishnah say shnei amalu? The balabais can say, you didn't do what I asked to do. I asked for a shirt for 6, you got me a shirt for 3. That's not what I asked you for. Therefore, I'm not mal, you're the only one that's mal. So Rabbi Chanina wants to bring a proof from here that even though he only did half of what he was asked to do, he bought a shirt, but only for 3, so he's considered most of Al-Dvarav when he buys the other cloak for 3. So too, when he was asked to sell a kor field, but he only sold half of it, he sold the lesser, so he's most of Al-Dvarav. And therefore, the proof from our Mishnah Mila would be that the deal goes through even for the lesser. Where says, Lav Davka, Hoch Mayaskin, you know what we're talking about over here? He didn't bring him back a shirt that was worth 3. He brought him back a shirt when he said, Havali Chaluk, and V'halach V'hevi L'chaluk. So it doesn't be Shalosh Chaluk, B'Shalosh Talis, that's what he paid for it. But it was worth the Isil Shav Shesh Bishalosh. He was a very sharp buyer, and he was able to go and buy a shirt worth 6 for only 3. So, in other words, this Mishnah, he did exactly what he was asked to do. Oh, he had extra money, and he brought also a talis. So that's why both of them involved. The Balabayas, who gave Reuven, who gave him the six slayim, he got a shirt that was worth six slayim. So therefore, the Balabayas says, well, because the shliach also shlichuso. And the other talis that was bought, so that's where the shliach is mal, because the Balabayas, Reuven, never told him to get it. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya to our case, because here, he asked to get a shirt for six, and he got a shirt for six. Where it says, no, that's not a good proof, because ihachi, if you're telling me that the shirt is actually worth six here, he paid three for it, but it's worth six, so then why would we say that the shliach, am I mal? What did the shliach do? The shliach didn't do anything. He bought him a shirt for six, and that's what he was asked to do. So why is the shliach in this situation going to be over me'ila? So where it says, no, that's obvious. Because a talis, because he bought the talis. So that's why the shliach is also over me'ila. And this is such an obvious question, it's a little bit hard to understand what possibly you were thinking of, that the shliach would not be mo'el. So Tosu seems to answer this by saying that you might have thought, afilu mosif al dvarav, lo heri ela shlichuse ko'ovid. Shekeno yedatu im yimtsa shom bisholo shikno lo talis, b'moser. You might have thought that in this situation, he gave him six slime. He said, all right, why don't you buy me a choluk? But no, if you can get a great buy, then also get me a talis. So therefore, you might have thought that, and therefore he's telling us no, that the shliach committed me'ila. Okay. More still questions and says, ihachi, if this is the case that the shliach did a great deal and got him a shirt that was worth six and only paid three, so he must say, but then keep on reading that Mishnah. The Mishnah then gives us the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Until now, we have the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, apazeh balabayis lemoal. He says, even in this situation, where the shaliach got him a shirt that was worth six, even though he only paid three, the shaliach is mal and the balabais is not mal. Why is that? Because the balabais, Reuven, can say to the shaliach, Shimon, hey, listen, I wanted you to get me a best chaluk that you possibly could. So if you're able to go get me a chaluk that's worth six for only three, imagine how great you could have done if you'd spend six. What an unbelievable choluk you would have gotten me that's worth 12 or even more than 12. But instead, you just got me this one that's only worth 6. Right? If you got it, be able to pay for this one that's worth 6, only 3. Imagine, if you had paid 6, you could have got me one that's worth even more than 12. As Rashi points out, it's worth even more than that. It's not a straight proportion, because the more you buy, normally the better discount you get. So you go into a store, you buy a suit that's a B-quality suit, so they'll give you 10% off. You buy an A-quality suit, they'll give you 20% off. So the A-quality suit's worth twice as much as the B-quality suit, but you're going to get 20% off instead of 10% off, so you do better. So therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, Reuven, the Balabayas, can say to Shimon, yeah, you got me a shirt for 6, but if you only spend 3 for it, imagine how great a shirt you could have gotten for me if you spent 6 for it, and therefore, you're mal and not me. So Gemara explains this. My Rab, what does it mean that he got him a lousy shirt for 6? Rabbi Domim, it was relatively of a bad shirt, because the Omar Lay, he says, it's because I could have gotten so much better if you'd spent all of the money on this shirt, rather than just spending 3 on it to get me a shirt that's worth 6. And I'll show you this is right, where it says, Daikonami Diktoni. And I'll show you this is right, because look carefully. There's a brisa that expands on this. Daikonami Diktoni. In the brisa, it says, Moder view the Bekidness. If this wasn't a shirt doesn't have a set price. But kitness, as we pointed out previously, has a set price. You pay a penny for a kli full of kitness. So you pay this amount no matter how many kalim you buy. You buy 100, you still pay 100 pennies for the same 100 kalim. You buy 2, you pay 2 pennies for the 2 kalim. It doesn't go up. The more you buy, it doesn't change. Shishnei Amalu. So Rav Yehuda says, in that situation with the kidneys, where he wouldn't have an argument, oh, if you spent this much to get me a shirt that's worth 6, imagine if you'd spent all 6, hey, give me a shirt that's worth 15. So in this situation with the kidneys, Rav Yehuda's modus, we turn to Tzadi Tesom at Beis, because in this situation, Shakitnes Mesela, the kidneys Mepruta, you're paying the same amount per pound, whether you're buying it at a seller's worth or you're buying it as a pruta's worth. And therefore, Shema Mino, you can see from this Braisa that the Mishnah was interpreted correctly the way we said. Because with shirts, you can get proportionately more if you paid more money, as opposed to kitness, which you can't. And Hechidami, what's exactly the scenario? Ilema Biastro de Mizavne Bishuma, if you're telling me it's a place where they don't sell the kitness in a way that is the same amount no matter whether it's large or small, so then you're right. Hechid Yovle Sela, Mosley Gabe Tvei. He would be able to get more if they sold it in that fashion, that it's not a set price for every kli's worth, every penny's worth. It's going to depend. If you buy 100, I'll give you a discount. If you buy 50, I'll give you a little bit less of a discount. Buy 5, you get a little bit less of a discount. Buy 1, you don't get any discount at all. So in this situation where it's Mosley Gabe Tvei, so then you have an argument that if I bought a lot more, I would get it cheaper. But Amar Rav Papa says, we're dealing here be asra the kaile bechane. As we pointed out, there's a set amount that you're paying for every single container. And it doesn't make a difference whether you buy 5 or 10 or 100. The deal is the same. The Amar Le, because the person who's the shaliach can tell to the person who sent him to buy, said, kana b'pruta. Every kli is worth the pruta. If I buy 1, it's a pruta for 1. If I buy 2, it's 2 prutas for 2. If I buy 100, it's 100 prutas for 100. You don't get a discount. So therefore, I didn't cause you any loss of money by purchasing a smaller amount than you would ask for. So go back. I'll buy you more. If you tell me, you know, I needed 50 and I only bought you 25, so then I'll buy another 25. It's the same amount of money. You didn't lose anything by me bringing it all at once. So this Brisa shows that Rav Yehuda is moda for kidneys, but he's not moda for the shirts. Oh, our understanding of the shirts was correct. We're going to try again to prove what would be the halacha in the case of Reuven asking Shimon to sell an entire kur and he only sells the lesach. So Toshma, we have a raya from our Mishnah. The last case of our Mishnah, where it said, Haisa ksubasa abmi azuz. The woman was a bas kohen, and she had a ksuba of 400 zuz. And she sold it off piecemeal. Mach rola zeh b'mona. She sold off one piece of land for 100. Another piece of land rola zeh b'mona. Another piece of land for 100. So she sold off the first 300 of the 400 of her ksuba. And then she goes and sells la'achu. And to the last person, she sells yofim moneh. The dinar, she sells a piece of land that was worth 101, a mana 100, a dinar 1, 101, but mana. And she only got back 100 for it. So he said the last deal, the fourth deal, shalachun is batel. However, the first three, shalkulam, michrin kayim. Deal 1, deal 2, and deal 3 are good. So what do you see from over here? Didn't the owner, in this situation, the yesomim, tell the woman, go sell off one piece of land to one person, and you'll get your 400 worth of ksuba? And she sold it in piecemeal. But we see that the piecemeal still went through. So when she sells the fourth one incorrectly, the first three are still good. So this would be like the person who was being told, go and sell a kor, and he only sells a lesach, so the first lesach is good. Isn't that a good raya? And Mora says, not necessarily so. Because we could argue, kid omer, Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi, like we had previously, Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi said, biktine, we're talking here about a single small piece of land. Not that this is one big piece of land that you could sell all 400 worth at the same time, but it was four separate little pieces of land. Diktini, as Rashi says, well, you sold those halalu yachad. They're not one big field, and she sold off piecemeal. No, vein ruilin yodim echad. It's not in anybody's interest to buy these four disparate fields. There's one over there. There's another one 2 miles away. There's another one 10 miles away. So when you buy a field, you want all the fields next to each other so you can just take a plow and go straight without having to pick up your equipment to go to another field. That will cost you a lot more money. So here, these are four separate fields. They're katini. They're small fields. And therefore, the Midiakara Rashi says, Adai to dohochi nasa shaliach. When the person sent the woman to go and sell the property, or in any situation where you're sending a shliach, this is four separate fields. So you expect them to sell it one at a time and not all four as one piece because they don't come together. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya from here. And that's what Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi said later on in the daf. So we apply it over here. Hochanami biktini. So here we're dealing as well with a separate four fields that the woman sold off. And we'll see in a moment where did Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi say this. We'll get that right before the next Mishnah towards the bottom of the daf. Now the Gemara says, Pshita, the halach is clear that if Reuven goes to the Shaliach Shimon and he says, I want you to sell it, Amar li echad, I bedavka want you to sell it to one person, the lo shnayim, and not to two people. So I want you to sell the entire kur to one person and not sell a lesach to this guy and a lesach to that guy. So then it's clear. He told him, I want you to sell it to one and not to two. And if he sells it to two, so obviously neither one of the two deals is a good deal, because when he makes a mashliach, he says, you have to do what I say, not what you want to do. And I sent you to benefit me and not to hurt me. For whatever the reason, he doesn't want to have two shtars. He doesn't want people to think that he's selling off all his properties by selling it to two different people. That's going to get bad news about his financial situation. He doesn't want that to go out. Whereas one time he sells it, that people don't look, see how much he sold it for, how much he sold. They say, oh, he sold it one time, no big deal. Oh, he sold it again? He doesn't want that. So therefore, he specifically says, le'ech v'lo l'shtayim. So the shaliach, if he sells it to two, didn't fulfill anything, and that's not considered mosif. That's considered no deal, michra batel. But if Reuven told Shimon, I want you to sell a kor, and amalei li'echad stama, he said, sell it to one person. But he didn't specify specifically not to two people. In the first case, the pshita, he said, le'echad v'lo l'shtayim. I want you to sell to one, and specifically not two. Here he said, I want you to sell to one person. Did he really mean only one person? He said, no, if you only find two people, then find two people, no problem. My, what's the halacha? That's the Gemara's question. So on this, Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna answers, li'echad v'lo l'shtayim. Even if he said only li'echad, it implies, it means only to one person and not to two people, even though he didn't befavor say not to two people. So Rav Huna says there's no difference whether he says li'echad v'lo l'shtayim or he says li'echad, which means li'echad v'lo l'shtayim. That's what Rav Huna holds. Rav Chista, Rabba bar Rav Huna, however, disagree. Rav Chista and Mestar Rav Huna's son, Rabba, they said the Amri Tavayu, both of these two Amoraim hold that if you say li'echad, then you're allowed to sell it. Unless you say v'lo l'shtayim specifically, so then you're allowed to sell it even to two people. If you didn't specify only to one and not to two, so then even though you said to one, Mestami, you meant to one person, but if you can't sell it to one, you can sell it to two, and even li'echad v'afil l'meya, and you can even sell it to 100 people. As Rashi points out, when you say li'echad, so that implies, unless you specifically said not to two, when you say li'echad, the lab or chayu, the inshe, the kapte, most people don't care. Listen, I want you to sell my field. If you sell to one guy, great. If you sell to two guys, great. If you sell to 100 guys, great. I just want you to sell my field. V'hainami lo kapit, and therefore, mistama, Reuven isn't kapit to sell it to only one guy. And l'urchad, the normal way to say it, listen, sell my field to a guy. Sell my field to somebody. That's what he said to one guy, but not lab davka, because he only wanted it sold to one guy, unless he said v'lo l'shnayim. V'yavi kapit, if he was makpit on this, havim afarish lei v'lo l'shnayim, then he would have said so. From the fact that he didn't say v'lo l'shnayim, that implies, according to Rav Chista and Rabba bar Rav Huna, that it's acceptable to sell it even to 100 people. So it's machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Huna's son, Rabba bar Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Gemara says, ikla Rav Nachman l'surah. So Rav Nachman, the great dayan, the great judge Rav Nachman, once came to surah. And Olegabe, these two Amorayim, Rav Chista and Rabba bar Rav Huna, went to ask him this exact question. Amulei, they said to Rav Nachman, in this situation where the guy said li'echad, Reuven tells Shimon, sell it to one person, but he didn't say v'lo l'shnayim. So what's the din? Can he sell it to only one person, or is he allowed to sell it to even two or even 100 people? Ki agav namai. So Amulei, Rav Nachman tells Rav Chista and Rabba bar Rav Huna that you're correct. Li'echad means over here, if he didn't specify v'lo l'shtayim, when he says sell it to li'echad, it means afilu l'shtayim, li'echad afilu l'meir. You can even sell it to 100 people. Oh, so they now ask him, Amulei, they said further to Rav Nachman, and no, afogad the Torah shaliach, what happens if the shaliach sold the properties for less than they're worth? Do we say also in that situation, well, I couldn't get, he is asking me to sell it for $100,000, I can only get $80,000 for it, so the deal goes through anyway. Is that true also? Afogad the Torah shaliach, the shaliach made a mistake. He couldn't get it for $100,000, so instead of trying further, he said, oh, I got to buy it for $80,000, that's good enough. So what's the deal in that situation? Can Reuven get his property back because he said, I only wanted to sell it for $100,000? Or do we say, no, the shliach made a mistake. So it's within the expectation, and that's what the owner of the land, Reuven, had wanted. So $100,000 would have been nice, but that included $80,000 as well. So Amalur, Rav Nachman says to them, no, I never said that. The Tor shliach lo kamina. If the shliach didn't do what the Baal said, so then that's the classical rule of, I sent you to do me a favor, to do me good. Shadrit l'takune shadartich v'lo lavusi, but I didn't send you to make it bad for me. So therefore, Rav Nachman said, I never said that if the shliach makes a mistake, the deal goes through. So the Gemara says, in that situation, if he sold it for 80, so Reuven can get the money back, because get the property back, because he didn't want 80, he wanted 100,000. Amulei, so Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna said to him, but weren't you the one that said that ain ono l'karkos, that there is no cheating in regards to land? Now, when you sell a car, and the car's worth $25,000, and you sell it for $10,000, so then you sold it for much less than it's worth. So you can get your money back because you made a mistake. Or vice versa. If the person bought the car, it's only worth $10,000, and you charge him $25,000, he bought it, so he can say, listen, I want the deal to go back because you overcharged me. The laws of overcharging is, in general, we use for our purposes now, a sixth. If the over or undercharge is more than a sixth, so then the person has a right to retract the deal. Again, if everybody's happy, it's not a din that you have to, it's not nisa d'oraisa, but if one person wants to retract the deal, you retract the deal. If it's exactly a sixth off, then you just have to pay the over or the under amount that was paid, and the deal goes through. If it's less than a sixth, so then usually the deal goes through, and the whole discussion whether you have to pay the difference or not in the over or under charge. In any event, this is called onoa. The Gemara elsewhere in the Babas talks about this in great detail as to what are the dinim of onoa. In any event, over here, we're dealing with a person who sold it incorrectly. So that was the shaliach. The shaliach has no right to sell anything at a loss. So over here, the onoa is something that the shaliach didn't have the right to do. So even though Rav Nachman holds it by karka, there is no such thing as onoa, because karka has no set value. To one person, the karka is worth $50,000. To another person, because of the location, it's worth $75,000. To another person, because he has a house right next door, and now he can knock him down and make one big mansion, it's worth $100,000. So therefore, there is no din of onoa for karka. That's what Rav Nachman said in general. But that's if the owner is either buying or selling it, but not if the shliach. The shliach does have onoa. So that's what Rav Nachman tells him. Hani Mila, when I said that there is no din of onoa by karka, hech tov al bayis. That's if the owner or the purchaser makes the mistake. For the owner or the purchaser, so they're allowed to overpay or theoretically sell it for less, because to them it's not worth as much one way or the other. But for the shaliach, amalei, the owner can say to the shaliach, listen, I sent you the takuni shadartich, I sent you to help me out, to make my position better, the lo lavuse, not to make it worse. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, even though I hold that there's no one by karka, that's only if the owner is the one that's involved over here, but not a shaliach. So therefore, while Rav Nachman agreed with Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna in regards to the deal where he said sell it to one person, but he didn't say lo lishnayim, so he agreed with them, it could be echad afilu shnayim, echad afilu meya, but he didn't agree that if the shliach makes a mistake, that the deal goes through anyway. Now, where's the source for Rav Nachman's din that if the shliach makes a mistake, it goes back, but if the Baal HaBayis makes the mistake, so it doesn't go back, because there's no ono by karka? Where do we find that? So we know Tamar, the Shani B'Shliach, the Baal HaBayis. Where do we find such a difference between the Shaliach, where we say that the deal goes back, and the Baal HaBayis, we say the deal doesn't go back? So this is a Mishnah that's not. This Mishnah is found in Trumos. So the Mishnah tells us there, if a man says to his Shaliach, Homer Lishlucho, listen, go, say Utrom, go and take Truma off on my field for me on my behalf. So he makes him a Shaliach, so he has the right to take off Truma. But he doesn't specify, am I a very generous person and I want you to take off a 40th of the field for Truma? Or am I an average person and I want you to take off 1/50th of the field for Truma? Or am I a stingy guy and I want you to take off 1/60th of the field for Truma? Because a person has a right to be more magnanimous or stingier or an average person. And it's a 40th, a 50th, and a 60th for the most generous person, the average person, and the stingy person. So he tells him, say Utrom. So the Shaliach wasn't given specific instructions, so he's allowed to say, listen, I know this guy. He's a very generous guy. He would want me to take off 1/40th. Or he says, listen, I know this guy is a real miser. He definitely wants me to take off 1/60th. So Torim Kidas Baal HaBayis. So the Shaliach is allowed to estimate what he thinks the Baal HaBayis wants. V'meini yodeh daitu shu Baal HaBayis, Torim Kibenis. And if he doesn't know, he says, I don't really know this guy so well. He seems like a nice guy, but I've never seen him give huge amounts of tzedakah or tips. I've never seen him be very stingy. So then you give the 1/50th, the average echod mi-chamishin. So that's the recommendation that the Mishnah in Trumas tells us. And in fact, if he guessed wrong, so he thought he was a very, very generous guy. And instead, piches asaret. Now, the way Rashi understands piches asaret was shetorim echod me'arboim. He took off 1/40th, and originally he should have taken off 1/50th, or vice versa. Some suggest that piches asaret means he took off 1/50th and really 1/60th, or vice versa. Osif asaret, or he added on a tenth. Again, we have Rashi machlokus with Tosus elsewhere that says, when it says that he added on or he left off, he was either piches or hosif, so it depends on which point you're talking about. Did he make it more generous or less generous? The bottom line is, let's say he should have taken off a 50th and he took off a 40th, or he should have taken off a 50th and he took off a 60th, or any other combinations if you can, where he was only off by this one factor, but he was within the range. So then the Mishnah in Truma tells us, Trumaso Truma. The Shaliach, even though he made a mistake, he estimated wrong, he thought he was a very generous person, he really wasn't, so nevertheless, the deal goes through. Trumaso Truma. Anything that he took off is truma because it's within the expectation of error in judgment. However, that's only if he errs piches asara or hosif asara. He goes up or down from a 50th to a 40th or a 50th to a 60th. That's acceptable. But the Baal HaBayis himself, Beilu Gabe Baal HaBayis, in regards to the owner himself, if he were to make a mistake, he somehow thought that he took off a 40th. He's a generous guy. In fact, he took off a 20th. If you look at Balabayis, Tanya, the Braisa tells us, Toram, if he took off Chuma, which you do by estimation, and he thought he was taking off a 40th, but it really was a 20th. He took off twice as much as the most generous person is supposed to take off a Chuma. Chuma so Chuma. That's the din. Chuma is Chuma. So we see over here that by the Balabayis, we have a lot more room than we do by the Shliach. And that's where Rav Nachman got his din. Rav Nachman said that in regards to the Shliach making a mistake, there's very, very little room for error. In regards to the Balabayis, though, there's plenty of room for error. So when he said that there's no one by Karkos, he's only talking about Balabayis, he's not talking about the Shliach. So now we get back to our question again. If you told a person to go and sell a kor for you and he only sold the Lesech, what's the din? So Toshma, we'll try to bring the answer from our Mishnah. The ksuba was 400 zuz. And Marchal, Zebimonev, she sold the first three fields for 100 each. And then the fourth one, the final one, Leachron, Shavim, one of the Dinar, Bimonev. She sold the field that's 101 for 100. So here we said, Shalachron, Batel, the last deal doesn't go through. Vishalkulun, Michron, Kayim. And all the others go through. Oh, this seems to be a raya. That even though the Shliach didn't do exactly what he was told to, what he did that was correct goes through. So he was told to sell the kor, but he sold the lesach, so the lesach goes through. The fact that he was supposed to sell the kor, but the lesach goes through. So to here, the woman was supposed to sell one piece of land for 400. Instead, she sold four different pieces of land, 100 each, and you see that it goes through. Only the fourth one didn't go through because it was the wrong amount. So seems to be asked and answered that even though you're told to sell a kor, if you sold the lesach, it's a good. So Amar Rav Shisha Bar the Ridi. Oh, this is what we just had on the top of this Amud Beis, where Rav Shisha Bar the Ridi said, Bikitine. This is where he said it. We weren't talking about there was one large field that the Yisomim expected the widow to go and sell. No, it was four separate little fields. And therefore, that's why each one is a separate deal. And therefore, there's no way you can bring a riot to what would be the case if there was one large field and she sold a piecemeal, what would be the halacha? Would we say that she did what she was asked to do? Or would we say in that situation she didn't do what she was asked to do and the deal doesn't go through? So therefore, Rav Shisha Bar the Ravidi said, Biktine, and therefore there's no raya, and we're left without a raya. What would be the halacha, according to this Ika D'Amrei, where a person was asked to sell a kor and he only sold a lesech? Would the deal go through or did it not go through? The Gemara doesn't give an answer. This is a good break point. We'll start a new Mishnah tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. With this, we conclude today's share.